Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
For those of you watching on YouTube, I'm in a different place.
This man is Mr. International Love, even though he's in the exact same country.
I was going to say I remain in Canada, but I'm actually in Toronto on work. So I am recording from my hotel room. Is it a fancy hotel room? No.
I don't know. It's got a white wall with no stains and or cracks and or how does it smell?
Honestly, because I've been on the road for a little bit now for work, this hotel smells good. There was a hotel that I went to earlier this week where the floor I was on smelled like fish.
Somebody had
cooked fish in the microwave.
Oh,
but, it was because somebody had, I saw their little tray outside. They had cooked fish and they just left the tray outside to go in the garbage. And so it smelled like baked cod.
Why would you do that? Why?
Because people suck.
And at least finish the damn fish.
On this show, we cover a wrestler through five of their most important matches or five fun matches that we find on the internet. And this week, we are looking at an ECW, WCW, and WWE star, plus a little bit of TNA, a little bit of AAA, a little bit of AEW. We'll talk about that. Juventud Guerrera.
Evan, what do you know about Juventud Guerrera?
I know about the juice. So I was first introduced to Juvi when he was in WWE as part of the Mexicals.
Oh,
so that was probably, like, I had seen him before in WCW, but as I've mentioned before on the podcast, we were not a WCW house. We didn't watch WCW that
much. I specifically asked you the question this week because I figured you might know more about him than I did.
So what I have done, though, is I have done extensive ECW rewatches. So I've seen Juvi in ECW before. He wasn't there long. And then, obviously, if there's anything to go back and watch in certain WCW years, it's the Cruiserweight division. And sure, Juventud's been great in that. So there's stuff of him masked. There's stuff of him unmasked. Most of our matches that we're going to cover are him unmasked, because that happens pretty early in his WCW run. But a very talented luchador. I know you only knew him from the Mexicals.
Yeah, 100%. I only knew him from the... Honestly, I know nothing about Juvi with a mask on. Like, I only know mask off Juvi. So seeing him with mask on, it was kind of like, he looks a bit weird.
One of the things is, I love his mask. I think it's actually really cool. And it's one of the default masks they used to have in the Create a Wrestler modes in WWE games. Because there would be, like, the one that was Jushin Liger, the one that was Rey, the one that was, like, obviously, like, Kane and Mankind or whatever. But then there was a couple other ones where I'm like, I don't know who that is. And as I got older, I'm like, oh, that's Juventud Guerrera. And I think Psicosis's mask was in there. Like,
Ultimo
there were a couple
Dragon.
Other Ultimo Dragons was in there. And I was like, okay, so you can make these guys specifically. I do like that they go out of the way to be like, look, we're not going to put them in the game. But you can make Ultimo Dragon if you want.
Yeah. I will say, a big thing with me and Juventud Guerrera is I always get him, Psicosis, and Ultimo Dragon confused.
Yeah, I mean, all part of a very similar era, all very important, and all different kind of roots, but very intermingled. Like, they did intertwine in terms of their careers, specifically Psicosis and Juventud, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yes. Before we dive in, if you aren't watching on YouTube, you should go check us out on YouTube. Hit subscribe. We're on the road to 100. We're currently at 80 subs. You should come and join us. Be part of that first 100. It would be very, very cool of you. We also have lots of extra content. If you want more wrestling content, it's all on there. We have our crossbody drafts. We have match breakdowns. We just did the gauntlet match that started Kofi Mania. That was very cool. We also have our mini-sodes, including one recently on Randy Savage. So we went back and revisited the career of Randy Savage. Lots to dive into.
Yeah.
At Crossbody of Work on YouTube. Also, wherever you're listening, if you are listening on podcast platforms, be sure to hit 5 stars, hit subscribe. Helps us out so much as we continue to grow on the road to WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
If you're also a podcaster or a wrestling fan, you're going to WrestleMania and you want to meet up, DM us. Tell us that. We want wrestling
friends.
Because right now my wrestling friends consist of one of my guys that I went to university with and Javier. I need more wrestling friends. So,
and one of mine is one of the guys I went to high school with and Evan.
Yeah, that's kind of how it goes. We are small but mighty, but be our friends.
Yes.
Okay.
Eat chicken tenders with us.
I do love good chicken tenders. I literally had them for dinner. Early in his career, Juvi was a mainstay in AAA. that was kind of his home promotion. He had a very lengthy feud with Rey Mysterio Jr. when both were pretty young, where they traded the AAA welterweight title back and forth. They also had several tag matches where Guerrero would team with his father, Fuerza, and Rey would team with his uncle and trainer, Rey Mysterio Sr. So kind of like a generational tag beef, and I think that's very cool. He then made his debut in America by going to Extreme Championship Wrestling, because he went there alongside Rey and Psicosis and Conan and La Parca. All these guys went to ECW, and that's where our first match takes place. It's ECW Extreme Bash, so big-ass Extreme Bash, Night 2, a 2-3 falls match versus Rey Mysterio Jr.
This slapped.
This is so good.
He's also young.
Oh, let's see. This is 1996.
Because spoiler alert, the next 22. Match. What?
This is 96. He's 22. Yeah.
But in the next match that we cover, the Chris Jericho match, spoiler alert, they say he's 21.
They lie. I have a note about that. They are incorrect about his age.
Damn.
I know. You can't trust things you hear online.
Who can you trust nowadays?
This match slaps. Lucha Libre was so important to ECW being different than the rest of American wrestling. And then WCW just were like, just going to steal that. just going to take all of that from you.
And we're also going to put some white guys in there.
We're going to mix it up. We've got Christopher Jericho and Dean Malenko. This is a great match. It starts with them spitting at each other. Like, it's a blood.
And then they just kind of like, so Hoovy spits on Rey. Rey doesn't even like sell it or anything. He just spits right back at Hoovy. And then they're just like, oh, well, guess it's time to wrestle.
Guess it's even now. Is this your recommendation for the week?
Ooh, no.
Me neither. I think we're going to have the same one. Is it the next match?
No.
Oh, I really like the next match. I think it's fun, not. But
for me, it would be our, what is it, fourth match.
Oh, of course it is. Of course you love that match. That doesn't surprise me at all. All right. 2-3 falls match, so we have lots of action to get through. What was something that impressed you in this match?
The inverted surfboard that Rey Mysterio put on.
Yeah, it's
like,
really good.
He's on top. Rey Mysterio's putting a surfboard on. But he's on top doing the surfboard hold while Hoovy's just down against the mat. Like, fuck me, this kind of hurts probably.
It's really good.
It's on a moonwalk. This is like the most technical I've ever seen Rey Mysterio.
That's what I was going to say too. Like, this is a certain side of Rey that we only really got in ECW and the first like year or so in WCW, where it's not just speed, it's absurd technical ability.
And power.
And especially against other small guys, Rey can bring the power, like, relative to his size. He's like Mighty Mouse, right?
Honestly, part of the thing that I was kind of upset with in his match with Dom is that he didn't, like, flex a little bit of the strength, you know? Like, yeah. I feel like that would have been the perfect match to do something like that.
Dad strength. You got to have the dad strength.
Yeah, just like you're fucking up your kid. Just, like, powerbomb him like your goddamn Wardlow, you know?
Hoovy's got some great moves, but early on it's Rey. Rey does the up and over onto the apron, seated springboard moonsault to the outside by Mysterio, where he like hit the legs on the top rope and flip to the outside. A sunset flip off the top rope for a two count. Hoovy does a springboard, like I described as a front flip drop kick to Mysterio from the apron.
No, that's exactly what I said. Just a somersault drop kick, pretty much.
And then a dragon suplex by Hoovy gets him fall one. So that's fall one.
That's a nasty dragon suplex, too.
It was a nasty dragon suplex. Then fall two, just the pace doesn't stop.
Yeah, Rey does a tope con hilo over the ref to Hoovy. He does a couple of topes to the outside to Hoovy. Hits a powerbomb for a near fall, springboard moonsault for a near fall. Then he catches a Hoovy with a drop kick. Then he just grabs him, hits a doctor bomb, and 1-2-3 ties it up.
It was really, really good.
I love the
couple
good
of
doctor
things.
Bomb too.
The commentary team, it's Joey Styles, talks about how Rey could be a high jumper. Rey could be a high jumper because the Olympics are coming up in Atlanta. But then he just goes, "You don't want to go to Atlanta." I'm like, "Ooh, WCW jab! I love that. That's fun." Spoilers: both of these men will go to Atlanta.
Yes, like very soon.
Also, so Hoovy does the springboard moonsault. Well, this is after the second fall. Hoovy does drop kicks. He drop kicks Ray off the turnbuckle, hits a drop kick through the ropes, and then does a springboard moonsault into the crowd onto Ray. And we get a great shot of Hat Guy. The most famous fan in ECW history is right fucking there for the moonsault.
Now, okay. It's into the crowd, yes, but also it's ECW, so the crowd's like 2 feet away.
And Hoovy moves the barricade, too. He makes, like, there's this much room. There's, like, a half foot of room between the actual apron and the barricade.
Yeah. Like, what are we doing here? After that, they fight into the crowd. They're in the crowd. They fight into the parking lot.
Yep.
And the crowd, I guess they still had a hot mic around the ring because you could just hear the crowd like chanting super loud at the fact that these people are outside and nobody
can
watch.
Ray gets powerbombed onto a sensible sedan.
And like then no
family
car.
He does. And then he hits a diving hurricanrana off the same sensible sedan.
Also, why do you keep calling it sensible?
It looked like a good family vehicle.
I wonder
you don't need
car
anything
that is.
Flashy. I hope it's Pauly's, but I know it's Tommy Dreamer's.
Pauly's. It's absolutely not. Pauly's not driving a fucking sedan, brother.
I know it's Tommy Dreamer's. He's like, God damn it, Paul. Why is it my car?
I like to think that that's his, and then like Rhino's is just like a, like one of those like buggies. Those like a Herbie fully loaded type of buggy.
I feel like Rhino runs everywhere. I don't know why. I think it's
with his arms out wide like this.
Yep. Back into the ring, Ray tosses a chair at Hoovy and it becomes a necklace for him because it just cracks over his head and hangs there. For the finish of the match, Hoovy goes for a top rope razor's edge. Ray turns it into a super Frankensteiner and gets the 3 count. This match slaps.
And then after the match, Ray does a sit-out powerbomb through a table.
It's good because he had set a table up earlier and never used it. And he's like, well, I mean, I can't let it go to waste.
Yeah, I cannot use this table.
There was one spot we didn't talk about that I want to talk about for Hoovy, and it's what sold me on him in match one. He does a snap press fall away slam. Oh, mama. Just bah.
What was that? I'm sorry, just what?
Bah. I think my finish would be a fall away slam.
I forgot what the finish I wanted from last week was already.
Hit someone with a car? I don't know.
No. It was fireman's carry into something. I know that.
If you're a
It was a fireman's carry like an FU into an arm bar. That's what it was.
Right. So when Conan decided to leave for WCW later in 96, Guerrera and the rest of the luchadors who had gone to ECW followed suit. In WCW, he made his debut on August 26, 1996. It was an episode of Nitro, and he had a victory over Billy Kidman. Beginning in 98, Guerrera pinned Ultimo Dragon to win the Cruiserweight Championship for the first time. It was on the initial inaugural edition of Thunder, which was January 8th, 98. However, he would lose the title to Ray 1 week later. And then at Super Bowl 8, he was challenging Chris Jericho for the title, where he puts his mask on the line. And that is our next match. It's, of course, mask versus title versus Jericho. Super Bowl 8, February 22nd, 1988, from the Cow Palace in San Francisco. One of my favorite historic venues from wrestling history.
Love a good Palace.
You know the best moment in modern wrestling at the Cow Palace? It's one of your favorite wrestling moments. I know it is. 2004. No Way Out.
Yeah, Eddie. Right.
Eddie winning the title.
I was like, well, you said like modern. Like, so when I think modern, I think from like 2010 on.
Modern to me is anything after the year. Once the years start with two.
Is that the Okada Cody match?
What did you think of this match?
I liked it. I mean, this is you said this would be your recommendation for the week.
It is.
I think this is a good match. I think this is like the third best match we watched.
I think if it all depends on what you're interested in, this is not the best work rate match of the matches we watched this week by a lot. But I think this match tells a very fun story. And I think it's also fun to watch one of my. Like, Chris Jericho has so many weird peaks in his career, but this era of Jericho, as like this is the best he ever was in the cruiserweight mold.
He starts the match wearing the cruiserweight title
and refuses to take it off.
Yeah, and so Hoovy like kicks him in the belt, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta take this off."
it's little things like that. There's one point where there's a springboard head scissors by Hoovy to Jericho, which looks amazing,
and then he follows it up with another one onto the apron.
Jericho gets sent to the outside, and you just see a shot of Jericho like opening his eyes and looking up and being like, I could just get counted out right now. So he's just lying flat, like, oh no, I'm not gonna do it. Of course, Hoovy hits him with an elbow drop to, you know, break up the count, but just little shit like that. And Hoovy plays a really good, like, fiery babyface in this match.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard not to with Jericho being such a good heel.
So shit, yeah.
Jericho, like, tosses Hoovy back into the ropes from, like, Hoovy, I guess, is going for, like, a Hurricane Run or a Frankenstein or some kind. So he's up in, like, kind of, like, the powerbomb position. Jericho just throws him back into the ropes. Yeah. Hoovy loves a good roll-up. He really thinks he that he's fucking Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
I think he's just all about the efficiency, where he's like, look, if I can roll you up and one of these pinfalls counts and the match is over quick, I get paid.
It's true. Like, I'm in, I'm out, I don't give a damn.
Hoovy and Goldberg, both not working by the hour.
Wardlow, too.
Yes.
Jericho does a delayed vertical suplex into a running senton, and I was like, there he is. There's my guy.
Yeah, it's good stuff. He has like a cocky two count too. Like, he doesn't really.
I love the Jericho on him. Pin, man. Just like, ah. Yeah. Hoovy with one of the craziest springboard dives I've ever seen. He just does like, I honestly called it the springboard Shaggy and Scooby. Like, cause he like mid air,
yeah,
turns to the side. Like he threw his body to the side.
To the side.
Like, cause he just like, so he jumps normal. Like, he's going like he's freaking like Rey Mysterio about to do like a seated senton or whatever. But instead he like turns his hips to the side and he just lands like you're just freaking like a husband carrying his partner out of their wedding. Like,
that's right. Over the threshold. He then follows it up with a sit out like tombstone style move. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what he was going for. Hits a 450 and gets the pinfall. We hear the three count, but we see that Jericho had his foot on the ropes and the ref calls off the win, even though the bell has rung.
Yeah.
I call foul. It's absolutely foul.
I mean, what can you do? The hand was on the rope.
I just don't like it.
Hoovy turns a powerbomb into a DDT, which is a spot I always love.
Yes. Lots of good stuff.
He does turns a double axe handle into an inverted atomic drop, which I really enjoyed.
Jericho starts to get some power. He's missing the lion salt. They trade some more reversals. And then Jericho reverses a Frankensteiner attempt into a lion tamer, which is beautiful.
Love it.
And Hoovy has to tap and lose his mask. Hoovy gets called Quasi Juice, like Quasimodo. Like, that apparently happened for a while after this, which is.
But he looks like a normal person.
Hoovy's he's a nice looking kid.
He literally just looks like a normal Mexican dude who's like 20 something.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like a normal young Mexican guy. So I don't know what the hell Jericho's talking about. But
what are you doing here?
I don't know. I thought he looked
kind of an asshole.
I thought he looked great with the mask. I thought the mask and the amount of hair, because Hoovy's got great hair.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really cool, like.
I need to know what product he puts in that bitch.
Yeah, like, he's the Troy Polamalu type hair, which is straight crazy. Up. And then, honestly, without the mask, he still looks fine.
I mean, after he takes off the mask, he just kind of, like, covers it with his hair. He covers his face with his hair.
He's going through an emo phase. All right, we
Jimmy
are going
to
take a break. Yes, when we get back from our emo phase, we're going to talk about Juventud in WCW and TNA. Back from the break, Hoovy would win the Cruiserweight title two more times in WCW, one reign lasting 36 days. That's actually where he won the title off of Jericho. So he loses his mask, but he does take the title off Jericho, just takes another month.
It's not worth it.
He has another reign that lasts a week, both of which happened in the second half of 98. When I went and researched Hoovy for this episode, there was a match that popped up a couple of times in a couple different Reddit threads of like underrated Juventud matches. And this is the one. It's Juventud Guerrero versus Blitzkrieg, April 11th, 1999 at Spring Stampede.
I don't know who Blitzkrieg is, but honestly, I kind of fucks with the name.
I fuck with the name too. I have no idea who this man is.
I think they fucked up making him look like one of those like fully covered luchadors.
Yes.
Because I think if he was just like some blonde dude with blue eyes, this would have like been crazy.
He does look like a Pokemon evolution of a Power Ranger, which is something. But his real name is Jeremiah Ross, and he's the fabulous Blitzkrieg. He is from Southern California. And
is he blonde?
I did look this up. I do not know. But he cemented his retirement in 2004 at an event called Pro Wrestling War, where he gifted the gimmick and bestowed the gimmick on someone else, the Blitzkrieg gimmick. That someone else is Jack Evans.
Wow.
Jack Evans was Blitzkrieg and was called Blitzkrieg 2 for a short time, but then retired because he suffered an injury on a botched move. So he was Blitzkrieg 2 for Jack just Evans? A short amount of time. Jack Evans, like the Jack Evans we know.
Jack Evans, he retired for a while?
No, he retired the gimmick. He stopped being Blitzkrieg 2. He's like, no, I'm out.
But like that doesn't... Okay, so you say he retired it because of an injury, but like...
Yeah.
Jack Evans never really wrestled any other way. He just was Jack Evans the whole time.
He was apparently it was an injury from a botched move, and he decided he wasn't going to do that gimmick anymore. So
yeah, I mean, listen, that's understandable. I too wouldn't want to be Blitzkrieg.
I mean, it sounds fun to be Blitzkrieg.
Again, if he was just like a blonde dude with blue eyes, it would have been perfect.
What'd you think of this match?
I liked it. I thought that this was fourth in the rankings for me.
For sure.
Behind my favorite and the Rey Mysterio match. But yeah. I like the action here. I think this is a whole lot of like, there's not many people in wrestling who can like one up Hoovy's like arsenal of moves. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like his bag goes deep.
His Blitzkrieg bag goes
went
deep.
Like he went band for band with him. You know what I mean?
For sure. Like and this is also a common theme. You can almost chalk up in any of these matches and in lots of cruiserweight matches that the opening part will be either a technical like trade of arm bars and arm drags or whatever, or a fuckload of pinning attempts. Yeah. And this one is the fuckload of pinning attempts.
Yeah. It realistically both, is Hoovy going for a fuckload of pin attempts and Blitzkrieg going for a fuckload of holds.
Yeah. So. Blitzkrieg's like arm bar.
Hoovy's like
Szechuan arm bar.
Blitzkrieg's like
the first big move is a gigantic tilt-a-whirl backbreaker by Blitzkrieg Hoovy sells like he's been snapped in half by Bane.
Well, he might have actually been snapped in half. It wasn't by Bane, it was by Blitzkrieg, but
who sounds like a great villain.
I mean, if you had told me Blitzkrieg was the name of the bad guy from Captain America, I probably would have believed you.
Like the Red Skull?
Yeah. Like, if you had told me Red Skull's name was Blitzkrieg, I would have believed you.
Blitzkrieg, absolutely.
And then, like, he puts on a Muda, like, he does a Muda, like, the springboard, the handspring back elbow into the corner. Hoovy rams Blitzkrieg's head into the turnbuckle 10 times, because Blitzkrieg did the punches 10 times in the corner. Hoovy then follows it up with a springboard missile drop kick, which I love when people do the missile drop kicks that aren't like, you know, regular drop kick types. It's it's like kind of like the shotgun drop kicks.
Yeah, where you take a back bump.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are my favorite.
He also does a suicide tope to the outside. And this is where I wrote, like, the juice is loose. Like, he is feeling it in this match. I love the nickname The Juice.
It's true. Listen, I don't think anyone... You know, the guy probably did a very terrible thing. But O.J. Simpson being named O.J. Simpson and also having his nickname be The Juice is the craziest thing I've ever heard. I love
it.
Aside from the fact that, you know, he...
So, while we're on O.J. Simpson, I've never told this story on the podcast. I was at a party once in college, and I saw a guy that I knew, and he was like, "Hey man, how's it going?" And I was like, "Oh, good." He's like, somebody says, "Oh, he's got a new nickname." And I was like, "Oh, like, what's your new nickname, man?" And I will say, this man's name does not start with O or J, but he's like, "Call me OJ." And I was like, "Oh, like the juice?" And he was like, "No, like the serial killer." And I was like, "Oh, what? I don't know how to comprehend that." So I just left that conversation.
I literally would have just been like, "Oh,
I was like, did you know that?" I'm not gonna name the guy. I'm like, "Do you know he wants to be called OJ now?" And somebody was like, "Oh," and one of my roommates was like, "The juice?" I was like, "Nope." Not like the juice,
kinda,
but kind of like the juice. Also, I have done a little research on Blitzkrieg while we're talking. There is a fictional Marvel character named Blitzkrieg, but he was a superhero. Franz Mittelstadt was born in Backnang, Germany. He was inspecting an electrical power plant when a stray bolt of lightning struck a faulty generator and bathed him in electricity. When he emerged from his coma, he found he could summon lightning at will to wield as a weapon and decided to use his powers in the name of democracy.
So he was just Shocker, but a good guy.
Good guy Shocker. Yes.
I'm assuming Blitzkrieg never showed up in any Spider-Man related things, because that would just kind of be weird. Because it doesn't make any sense for that, because there's the Shocker.
There was some time where he was teleported away by the Grandmaster and fought on a team with Captain America, She-Hulk, Daredevil,
you mean Wolverine, and Avengers, Captain Britain.
But it wasn't in the event. This is weird. Marvel has too much stuff.
Well, what do you want, anyway, man? It's been like 75 plus years of comic books.
They got a lot going on. Blitzkrieg hits a nice spin kick, and then he does a backflip off of Hoovy's chest in the corner, essentially like the Daniel Bryan dodge, but yeah. He does it off of Hoovy's tiny chest, and I feel bad.
And then he hits a dropkick right after that.
Yeah, it is really good.
It's great.
Blitzkrieg is cooking.
So Hoovy puts on a surfboard at one point here, and Blitzkrieg gets out of it by doing an elbow drop. He literally just unhooks one of his arms, uses it to like move all of his momentum, and with the other arm, elbow drop.
There's another awkward. So there's some springboards, of course. Hoovy sent to the outside after an armbar, a top rope springboard moonsault by Blitzkrieg to the outside. Hoovy hits a reverse DDT that he flips into beautifully for a two count. Blitzkrieg gets out of a suplex attempt off the top rope by just awkwardly, like just dead weighting himself.
Yeah.
He just awkwardly moves so he can't suplex him.
It's great.
It hurts everybody.
Well,
it's one of those things where it's like, if I'm going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt.
Blitzkrieg misses a Phoenix Splash that I swear to God, it's... So I think that Seth Rollins has like one of the prettiest looking Phoenix splashes, because especially like Seth Rollins when he first started doing it, when he was younger and more springy and didn't have a broken back and probably less knee issues, because he almost like floated. You know what I mean? It's like he like just kind of kept going until finally he just like, oh yeah, I have to go down now. Blitzkrieg kind of had that on the Phoenix Splash. The camera angle did it no justice, because it was at like a weird angle where you couldn't really get it right.
When I tell you that I paused to be like, did this man just try a Phoenix Splash? Because I didn't believe that I... Because you said the camera's terrible.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't think that was a Phoenix Splash. Rewind a little bit. Take it off 1.25 that I was watching it on. And I look again. I'm like, this man's going for a Phoenix Splash. And it looked... good. It was just the camera was bad. Yeah.
Mind you, when I said that Phoenix Splash thing, I mean like we don't count like the Will Ospreys and Ricochets attempting it. That's not fair. Those guys are that's like saying, oh, you know, Buddy Hield is a really good 3-point shooter, one of the best in the league. You don't compare him to Steph.
No.
You know?
You leave it alone.
Yeah.
The finish for this match, bananas. There's a twisting Frankensteiner, but it's really around like it's a body scissors instead of a Frankensteiner by Blitzkrieg. He gets a two. And then Hoovy just decides, you know what? Here's a top rope super Hoovy driver.
Which is just a Samoan driver.
It is, but it's a Hoovy driver because it's Hoovy who do it.
It's very juicy is the thing. That's why.
It's so juicy.
Some would say the second most juicy of the Samoan drivers, because... Rikishi, that's a whole lot of juice, if you know what I mean.
Now, there may be nothing worse than, like, in terms of, like, if you change one letter in a word, it just gets so much worse, because juice is fine. Juicy has just, it's just bad. The word juicy?
Nah.
When something's, that's juicy.
Because I like juicy fruit, you know? Juicy fruit was my shit when I was a kid.
Really? Like, if you had your choice of gums, you'd pick...
All right, man. I said kid, like, when I was, like, 10. Like, I just like the sugary stuff. It was, like, not the Hubba Bubba. What's the one that's, like, is it Bubblicious? The one that's, like, a circle? Like, a roll? Those were my shit. The pink one, especially.
I saw a kid just do the bite out of it instead of unrolling it, and I that was a hate crime.
Okay, like, you saw it in person, or you saw it on, like, on TikTok?
I saw it happen as a child. It changed my life trajectory.
Okay, where? I need more context on this.
Schoolyard.
Just like grade, went to your school?
Grade 4?
Were they in the remedial class?
I actually have no idea where they are now, but
I meant then. Were they in the
No, they were like just a kid from my class.
And were you in the remedial class?
I was not in the remedial class. He took the gum out and just went.
That is some like that child might have killed someone.
Unhinged behavior.
Like I'm speaking of Pharaoh right now. That child might be like the juice.
Speaking of behavior. So Guerrero would win the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship on an episode of Nitro, November 29th, 99, against Jushin Thunder Liger. He took the title off him and would lose the title back to Liger the next week. The way he lost the title was because Psicosis substituted for Guerrero due to injury. In reality, Guerrero and a wrestler named Jerry Flynn were arrested for a DUI and thus no-showed.
Yeah, Jerry Flynn or Jerry Lynn?
Jerry Flynn.
Who the fuck is Jerry Flynn?
I don't know.
No, I need more information on this. Who the fuck is Jerry Flynn?
He was in WCW for like 4 years.
You want what? I'm sorry. Yeah. If there is a Jerry Lynn in wrestling, that is like a big name. Flynn. You can't be Jerry Flynn.
No.
You just can't be. You become Flynn Gerald or some shit.
Hoovy would join the Filthy Animals. He was part of the formation of it with Billy Kidman and Conan and Rey Mysterio. In October 2000, during a WCW tour of Australia, the juice was loose.
Oh.
He was arrested at the hotel, which the wrestler was staying at, after an incident in which he was discovered naked and screaming in a hallway, and then attacking police officers who arrived to detain him. According to the 2004 book, The Death of WCW, Guerrero was reportedly under the influence of PCP. Guerrero was expelled from the remainder of the tour and later released by WCW and was ordered to pay nearly $1,800 in fines. Yeah. After his release, Hoovy would go back to AAA. That was where he made his. Yeah, I'm just going to skate right past and let you kind of digest that all on your own. He would end up back in AAA, and then he made some appearances in TNA. He was part of what originally was first called Team AAA, and then renamed Team Mexico in TNA's World X Cup, but then also participated in this Super X Cup, and that's where our next match is. It's the finals of the 2003 Super X Cup. It is Hoovy versus a very young Chris Sabin.
My guy. Chris Sabin's like 21, isn't he?
Chris Sabin is 21 years old.
Yeah, it would have had to be.
He has been wrestling for, I think, like 16 months or something like that.
No, he's probably been wrestling like longer than that, but I think on a professional capacity.
Oh, he had debuted in 2000. Yes.
Yeah, so like in a professional capacity,
he made his debut in Ring of Honor 3 months earlier.
I love Chris Sabin. Like words cannot explain how much I love.
I don't
Chris
know why
Sabin.
I don't know why I assumed anything else was your recommendation for the week. This is obviously
this was
it.
Also like just the best match. Like I just think
it's a very good match. And
it's
of course,
so good.
Since it's a tournament, I have to talk about the tournament bracket. How did people get there? Hoovy was on the international side of the bracket and beat Nosawa, who we've seen on this podcast before. And Teddy Hart. Sabin beat Jerry Lynn, not Flynn. He beat the original one that we've heard of, and Frankie Kazarian. Lynn, not Flynn, baby. Sorry.
Just the fact that Teddy Hart is on that side, like, I get it, he's Canadian, but, like, has anyone ever seemed like they were more from New Jersey than Teddy Hart?
Other than, like, Enzo Amore? No.
No, because Enzo's actually from New Jersey.
Yeah. That's
you know
true.
What I mean? Like, has anyone ever seen like they were more from New Jersey who actually wasn't from New Jersey than Teddy Hart?
No, not even
like,
a little
it's
bit.
It's insane. He's the least Canadian of all time. It's like him and Drake.
And Mike Myers.
No, him I could believe is Canadian. You just take one look at that dude. You're like, he's either from Michigan or Canada.
And what is Michigan if not light Canada?
Well,
actually, that's Minnesota. Minnesota is Canada light.
That is true.
If we had to take one state and add it to Canada, we'd be like, oh, you know, either Minnesota or Maine.
I mean, you guys, you know, then you'd have an NFL team.
And wouldn't that be so nice?
And I would have to be a fan of that team because that's my team.
I know we have Canadian listeners. And so I want to just throw this out there. The CFL sucks.
Well, no shit, Sherlock. You guys get like the second rate players.
But you don't understand. here's the thing. Lots of the players who don't work out in the NFL also don't work out in the CFL because of the rule changes, which is wild. We have three downs. We have a larger field. The ball is bigger. The field goal posts are at the front instead of at the back of the end zone. And there's a point, a play you can call or have happen called a rouge, where you get 1 point and it's for, I think, kicking the ball through the end zone. It's fucking weird. Anywho, there are people in Canada who like the CFL to an extreme extent where they are like, well, I like the CFL like better than the NFL. No. You're wrong. I appreciate that you are supporting the 9 teams that are in the CFL, but it's not that good.
Here's the thing. This is where I end the argument. Which league has Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Derrick Henry?
A couple of famous people who did come to the CFL and bombed. Johnny Manziel was awful.
Okay, but he was awful hilarious. Fucking everywhere. The guy sucked in the XFL.
Ricky Williams came after he got kicked out of the league for doing pot, and he was honestly not bad for a while.
I mean, then he went back and he was good again.
But I'll shout out the people who made it from the CFL to the NFL who were really good. Warren Moon, Jeff Garcia, and Cameron Wake.
Not Roman Reigns.
Though he did play in the CFL too. All right, this match is
Eskimos.
Fantastic. They're the Elks now. This match is fantastic, and I always stand Frosted Tips Jeremy Borash, who is our ring announcer.
Three things about this match.
Is one of them Jeremy Borash?
It is Jeremy Borash. It's in my notes. I have that written down. Number two is that this is a four-sided ring. I hate it. And I know we're still early in the TNA run. We're still in the NWA TNA days. So I get that. But hurry up. and also, number three is why is Chris Sabin's hair like that? Don't like it. Give me the freaking Karen / AJ Styles with the little curly curl to it hairstyle freaking Chris Sabin. That's the Chris Sabin that I know. That's the one that I love.
Give me what I want. So
tons of the same moves. They do the exact same moves to each other like 5 straight times.
So
at the same time.
Early on, Sabin offers a hand but actually slaps Hoovy. Then they do a mirror spot where both men drop down, then they do drop kicks, and they mirror each other purposely. Sabin offers another handshake, Hoovy just flips him off, ducks a clothesline, and gets the early advantage with a spin kick and a tilt-a-whirl head scissors. Very good stuff.
He's so fast, Hoovy.
He's so absurdly fast, and you only notice it when he's with someone, like, because Ray's fast, obviously.
Yeah.
You noticed it in the Jericho match. Blitzkrieg was keeping up with him, but then Sabin, too, is like, you can just see there's just levels to this. And Hoovy's just a next year.
I will say Sabin is like fast, but Sabin is more like athletically. Sabin's more like in that like Frankie Kazarian level where they're like,
yeah,
they're fast, but they're like a white person. You know what I mean? Like they're not like a freak. like Will Ospreay is a freak. He's a one of one. You know what I'm saying? Seth Rollins is like half Hispanic, I think. So he doesn't count either. But like, there's like...
I mean, his name's Colby Lopez.
It used to be. Now it's Seth Rollins legally, I think. Anyways.
I'm just having like white NBA players come by my... Like Austin Reeves.
Pat Connaughton.
Alex Caruso.
Does not, Pat Connaughton. He's the best you've got. But he doesn't count because he's like the John Elway of basketball.
Best you've got lumping me in with the white NBA players like I'm anywhere near right. them. I
Name
love that.
Portuguese basketball player, man. What do you want me to tell you here? Not Brazilian. We don't count the Brazilians.
Fuck. I was about to say Leandro Balboa.
No, you don't get Fab Melo, okay? You get Portuguese and Portuguese only. Anyways, Hoovy does a plancha. He has a slingshot elbow drop for a near fall. Hoovy went to like roll into a pin, but Sabin just absolutely crushes him with a German suplex for a near fall. Hoovy does a basement drop kick for a near fall. There's a lot of near falls in this match. Juventud Guerrera loves to do a move and then immediately go for a pin after.
It's true. Uh, Nemeus Keita from the Kings.
Who?
Exactly. That's the best.
What is it?
Nemias Keita. Q U E T A.
Never heard of this person. Mind you, I follow basketball religiously. Never heard of this person. Is he currently on the Kings?
He is currently on the Kings.
Never heard of this
person. Sorry, no. No, you know where he is now?
No.
The Boston Celtics.
Nemias Keita?
Nemias, N-E-E-M-I-A-S.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know this dude. Yeah. I just could not understand what the fuck you were saying. Yeah, he signed with us like 2 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. He's the only Portuguese player to ever make it to the NBA.
That is insane.
We're too busy playing soccer, man. And by we, I mean people more athletic than me. Hoovy rolls through a roll up and hits a flat back drop kick right to Saban's face. This is right after Saban hits a released German suplex that I thought killed Hoovy. tons of pin counters and senior referee Rudy Charles keeping up with them all. I like Rudy Charles.
That's my guy.
I like Rudy. Both men fall over trying to stand from being exhausted and probably dizzy.
They're legit dizzy. They're just countering everything for a stretch there. Until Hoovy hits a bulldog off of a counter. It kind of looks like it's like the Dudley dog bulldog.
Yeah, but it's a wheelbarrow into a bulldog.
Yeah, that. He does a springboard. Go ahead.
This is where I want to talk about something. Because I was like, wow, the pins per minute in this match is crazy.
I know.
Like, what do you think the average pins per minute in like a match is?
Like a normal match?
Yeah.
I would say like per match there's like 6 to 7 pins.
And like, you know, average TV match, what, 11 minutes?
It depends on the company, but yeah. It
depends on the company.
Somewhere between 8 and like 12.
This is where I wrote this down because I think this is good. Why is there not like advanced statistics in wrestling? Like, why is there not a PFF for wrestling? I want to launch that. I want PFF statistics in wrestling.
Do you know how much tape you have to crunch from every single company in order to get that down?
Do you know how many weird wrestling fans, shout out to all of you, watch like hours of wrestling every week?
Yeah, but no. This isn't something that you could just recite from memory. You got to go in there and I need to know unequivocally that this match has 8 fucking pins in the first 10 minutes of it. Therefore, like, oh, we've got a rate of 8 pins per 10 minutes. That's like a fucking 0.8 goddamn pin.
Yeah.
Like,
and then, you know, their strike rates and their grapple success rate and things like that.
I picked
a random match or a random episode of Raw at random. And so like, hey, your job today is to go and watch the October 29th, 2007 episode of Raw. You tell me what the pins per minute are in Hornswoggle versus Jonathan Coachman.
Let me tell you something. Akira Tozawa is going to have the worst advanced stats of any wrestler in the world.
Oh, I hate it. Anyways, PFF for wrestling. I'm in. I'm on it.
My man's creating things on the fly.
I'm an ideas guy.
Hoovy hits a springboard missile dropkick, does a kip up. Saban at one point does a crazy move that's like a dominator. He starts off with like the dominator position and then he turns it into an STO. And that's what it looked like, at least there. On the replay, it kind of looked like a Stormbreaker, like the Will Ospreay Stormbreaker.
Yeah.
He didn't hook the arms. He just had him in the dominator position.
But speaking of hooked arms, Hoovy hits a bunch of chops and then a double underhook. And I'm putting this in heavy quotations. Bomb. Well,
no.
Where he drops.
Bomb, brother, that's a Tiger Driver 91.
What?
That's a Tiger Driver 91.
What is that? How is it supposed to be? Because he's not supposed to land Saban directly
on
his neck.
That is the move that, that's the move that was busted out in the second Kenny Ospreay match. The one from Forbidden Door that everyone went crazy over. It was a Tiger Driver 91.
Now, okay, cool Japanese tape trader Javier. He fucking almost kills a man.
Well, yeah, that's why no one does the fucking move. It's like the most unsafe move in wrestling.
And so that's why my frame of reference wasn't, oh, he's going for the Tiger Driver 91, obviously. Instead, it looks like he's trying to do like a Tiger Driver and butchers it.
The fact that the fucking Tiger Driver 91 did not end this match is insane to me.
No, instead, Saban hits a massive DDT. There's a spot where Hoovy gets crushed on the turnbuckle by Saban. We get a superplex. They trade more pins. Hoovy hits the Hoovy driver, goes for the 450, nails it, but then Saban gets a foot on the ropes. This is truly the downfall of the 450, is you have to be so close to the ropes to do the 450 it's effectively true. That they could just put their feet up there. It's the way to beat the 450.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, who does anyone even, like, use the 450 as a finisher anymore? Mustafa Ali did.
Ali, yeah.
That's it. I can't think of anyone else.
No.
I mean, that makes sense. Finish.
Good, it's yeah. just, it, that's it's Achilles heel.
It's like, why would you? Just do a 630, loser.
Do a 900, Tony Hawk. Saban hits a move that I'm sure I'm going to get the name wrong, so you tell me what move he hits.
It's a Fisherman Buster.
Okay, so I'm one for two on the day.
That's well, it's good. Not as, like, I want to say, if you had said Fisherman Suplex, it's fine, but it's definitely a Buster, because he goes in there, like, it's the... Because he like tightens it up, so it's like the, yeah. the muscle buster, but it's clearly it's yeah. a fisherman. So that's it's fisherman buster.
I get that it's called fisherman because it's like a fish, like the hook, right? I get that. Some fishermen everywhere being like, we don't claim this. This has nothing to do with us.
I don't know about you. If I were a fisherman, I'd claim the fuck out of it. It's like I get a wrestling move named after me.
Saban is 21 years old here, like we said, and that was my only note at the end was, God damn.
One, two, three, Chris Saban wins the Super X Cup, by the way.
There is only one other Super X Cup, I believe.
And 2 years later. See, what year would that have been?
2005. Who do you think wins?
Christopher Daniels.
Incorrect, but he was... Oh, he wasn't even in the tournament.
No. The final of that, is it Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles?
It sure is.
And I know exactly the one. Oh my God, I saw highlights of this the other day. Joe wins, right? With the muscle buster.
Yeah. He wins actually via submission at Sacrifice. It was on pay-per-view. It was at Sacrifice.
Yeah, no, that's the pay-per-view I'm talking about, but I remember him hitting a muscle buster. I guess he didn't win with that.
I'm sure he hit it, and then maybe he choked his ass out. All right.
Probably.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, it's time to talk about the Mexicals.
It's time to disappoint everybody.
Back from the break. In the spring of 2005, Hoovy signed with WWE. He debuted on television, entertaining the WWE universe, simply known as Hooventoot, on June 18th, 2005. On June 23rd, he teamed up with Super Crazy and Psicosis, two other luchadors of note from ECW, WCW, all around, and collectively called themselves the Mexicools. They interrupted a match between Chavo Guerrero and Paul London by riding to the ring on a lawnmower and attacking both men. And then week after week, the Mexicals would interrupt matches, beating down random superstars and cutting promos. That's where we go to. It is the Mexicals attacking Matt Morgan.
Did I stutter?
One, why is Matt Morgan biting off Bubba Ray style from back in the day? So. Two, this clip that we are covering... starts the like you hit play, the first thing you hear is Michael Cole saying, "Matt Morgan, the superstar with a speech impediment, set for action." And I thought this was an NFL draft profile where they're like, "Here's some traumatic things from this person's Jesus. Background."
So, one of my best
take him in the sixth round of UNLV. What the fuck are we doing?
One of my best friends, shout out my man Nico. He is not really a wrestling fan. Everything he gets is secondhand from this one guy that he works with. Who is like an old? He was a fan like way back. He's like, he's around your age. So I don't know his exact age. That's why I have to say that okay. that way. Yeah. And so he was like,
nice.
He was like a kid during the Attitude Era, like the very early on. Like he talks about the Mankind Undertaker match. Like it's freaking royalty. He does. He talks about like literally every time I see him because he knows I like watch wrestling and that we do this podcast. And he like will always every time I see him. Man, when they crucified Stephanie McMahon, it's like I couldn't believe it and stuff like that. And the last time I saw my buddy, it was like 2 weeks ago or something like that now. Every time I see him, he like tells me a new wrestling thing that he learned. And the most recent one was when the Dudleys were doing like a promo battle against The Rock. And he just goes out of nowhere. We're just playing basketball, shooting around. He just goes... And who in the blue hell are you? He's like, we're the... It doesn't matter what your name is.
The Rock is the world's greatest bully.
Really, truly. The amount of people that have probably had their lives destroyed from secondhand influence of The Rock is crazy.
Matt Morgan is facing off against a wrestler acquired in a post-draft day trade. I did love when they treated it like it was actual like brands and trades and shit like that. And it's William Regal. Yeah. And Regal is interrupted by Sikosa, Super Crazy, and Hoovy. The next school's in their pimped-out lawnmower. They jump Morgan and hit him with a rake.
Regal comically dips the scene. Comically.
But also he stays to watch.
Yeah,
for
he
a while,
like goes up and he like try like half climbs the barricade. He's just like kind of sitting on it. Like,
what's going on over there?
Just like exactly what I mind you, exactly what I would do in this situation.
Hoovy in the ring hits a tornado DDT, kips up. Psychosis goes up top for a diving leg drop that does not look very good. Super Crazy hits a moonsault that looks pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Another question I have. Super Crazy. Yeah. I literally only know Super Crazy from the Mexicals. Like, I know nothing about him. Was he in WCW?
No, he was in ECW and then went to the independent circuit and then came to WWE. So he was I just want to confirm.
And he never had a mask, because I remember him. We've covered him, I think, in one or two matches from other ECW people.
Yeah.
No mask.
He was in the Steve Corino episode.
Sounds about right. Shout out to Steve Corino, a.k.a. Adam Cole.
And then Super Crazy has been on the independent circuit. He's done some runs in NOAH. I don't believe he's ever had a mask. Oh, he did have a mask for a while, actually. Oh. But that was back in 1988. Wow.
Damn.
He lost his mask in March of 88. He'd only been wrestling.
You weren't even alive.
He lost his mask a month after his debut.
he was probably like, fuck that.
At 14 years old. That is but a child. Anyways, they beat the shit out of Matt Morgan. That's what happens. They don't beat the stutter out of him, but it's close.
Yeah, so Psychosis tosses Lil Nate out. They hit a triple baseball slide. They start taunting. Regal wants no part of this. Like, he's just like,
Hoovy, they all have like coveralls on, like the work outfits. But Hoovy has his with one arm off.
Yeah.
Swag.
Hoovy hops on the mic. And he goes, oops, we did it again. And then he kept going with it. He's like, I pray with your heart.
Hoovy becomes the spokesperson for the Mexicals, essentially, because he does speak the best English of anybody
in
Mexico.
It's not very good.
It's all right. Like, you can understand what he's saying. He starts laughing, and then I think it's Sikosis is like, shut up and listen to us, gringo.
No, he says it. Shut up and listen to us, gringos. This is serious. And then Sikosis says, they don't talk funny like Morgan does.
He says, our actions and words speak for themselves. This is Hoovy again. We don't care if you're tall, fat, American, Japanese.
No, dummy, and African.
And when they say Japanese, Sikosis and Super Crazy pull on the sides of Hoovy's face to make a very racist caricature. This is the year of our Lord, 2005.
I will not do the caricature.
No, of course we won't do it, because we're not idiots, but and it's racist, and it's
I will do an example without actually moving skin. You know what I mean? They both had their fingers.
Yeah, they did the thing.
They did that.
They say they're going to make an impact week after week. When the juice says so, the juice means so. And then Sikosis has by far the best line.
He says it all. This isn't the first time that he said it. He says it multiple times. Like, because he says it after the next match. It's fucking hilarious. He says that their ass is grass.
Your ass is grass, and we are the lawnmower.
Oh my god.
This is where Tina Belcher got her inspiration. Your ass is grass, and I'm gonna mow it.
Super Crazy then goes, remember everyone, we're not Mexicans, and then they all three come to the mics. We're Mexicals.
I can't believe this was the gimmick. All right. October 4th, same year. at a SmackDown taping, Hoovy, along with Super Crazy and Psicosis, were in a big over-the-top battle royal, with the stipulation being that the winner would receive a title shot for the Cruiserweight Championship at No Mercy. After finally eliminating London, it was Hoovy who won the battle royal, and that leads us to our last match. It's for the Cruiserweight Championship at No Mercy 05. It's against Nunzio. Nunzio out there with Vito, of course. And, of course, the Mexicos have now upgraded to all of them having their own lawnmower.
Yeah, they got a little more money. Maybe they sold the original one. Were able to get three different ones, but smaller.
Yeah, this is the worst match, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. It's fine. It's like it's not bad. Hoovy is still
like an
8-minute
TV match, you know.
But it's at No Mercy, which is
but
weird.
But it's a TV match. I don't know how to tell you it that, is. But it's a TV match. This is just not very that fun.
The best move in this match, and I'm skipping quite ahead because again, there's pins and trades. There's Nunzio gets a Russian leg sweep, you know, top rope face buster, both men are down. There's a Shining Wizard by Hoovy.
Oh my God.
That I thought popped Nunzio's head off. Like a champagne bottle.
It was like low-key a V-trigger.
Yeah. Yes. Also, the V-trigger that Kenny hit this past week at Dynamite on Kyle Fletcher.
He faced Kyle Fletcher.
Did you see the clip of the V-trigger?
I didn't. No.
Google it right now while recording, because I want to see your reaction to the V-trigger while we do this. I'll talk about the match. You tell me when you've got the clip pulled up. Okay. So, massive Shining Wizard by Hoovy. Looks great. Sit out Facebuster by Hoovy for another two. Nunzio goes for a top rope leg drop and totally misses it.
I think I've then got things- it.
Okay, you got the clip? Play it.
Okay, so Kyle Fletcher's hitting the ropes. Okay, Kenny ducked under. Ducks under again. Holy shit!
It what is a sell next, job. It is a next level V trigger and a next level sell
what
job.
What a sell. I mean, he catches him in the shoulder, but Fletcher just like flings it. Kyle Fletcher's a big dude, like tall. He's a tall dude.
Yeah, tall guy.
He's like 6'4".
Out fucking standing. Vito grabs Hoovy's leg, sunset flip from the apron, then rolls back through the middle and bottom rope to head scissors Vito. So he essentially flips into the ring. Does the sunset flip on Nunzio while he's on his stomach, just pushes himself backwards to head scissors Vito out or off the on the ground there.
Yes.
Outstanding body control stuff from Hoovy.
Yes. We kind of get the finish like almost after that.
Yeah.
Nunzio counters a flying crossbody from Hoovy into a pin for a near fall. And then like almost immediately Hoovy hits a Hoovy driver for the win.
It's good.
It's good stuff. After the match, he gets on the mic. He said that here is the real Mexican champion. I'm not sure if Rey Mysterio was champion at the time, but if he was, shots fired.
Wouldn't he have been 2005?
Is this 2005?
This is 2005.
Oh, no, Rey was 2006.
Yeah.
He says, when the juice says something, the juice does it.
Juice is a man of his word.
Yes, says he's a man of
his word. I'm a man of my word.
Says he's a man of the word of his word, man. He's a man of his word.
Hoovy would lose the title back to Nunzio at a live event in Italy, which I think is a fun fact. He would win the title again November 25th on an episode of SmackDown from England and lose the title on December 18th. At Armageddon to Kid Cash. So those were his five Cruiserweight title reigns. Not a lot of actual time with the belt, but consistently in the title picture. Like, he was always around the title, which I think is worth something, you know? I do want to see, in terms of cumulative days, where does he rank? I assume it's not very high.
Yeah, no.
Juventud is 12th in terms of cumulative days, but is 4th in terms of reigns.
Really?
Yeah, so with 5 reigns, he is 4th. Can you guess the 3 people ahead of him?
No. What is it like? Like, how many times they held it?
There's one person with 6, one with 7, one with 8.
Spike Dudley one of them?
Spike Dudley is not, but I feel like Spike Dudley has a lot of combined days because he had a long...
Hurricane / Gregory Holmes?
No.
Chavo?
Chavo is 3, Billy Kidman is 2, Ray is 1.
Oh, Ray won that shit 7 times?
8. Ray won it 8 times.
Ray lost that shit 7 to 8 times, I guess?
In terms of combined days, Helms is first with 532.
Well, yeah, now, he held it for so goddamn long.
January 6th, 2006, WWE announced that Guerrero was released from the company. His final match aired that evening on SmackDown. It was a Cruiserweight title rematch with Kid Cash that Hoovy lost. During the match, Hoovy would use many flying moves as normal, including the 450, a move that WWE had outright banned at that point because in an earlier match, Hoovy did it and hurt Paul London. It led to the several fractured bones in his face. So that's why they had banned the move. So Hoovy used a banned move and they were like, that's it, you're gone.
Oh, I thought you meant like he was going to get released, so he decided to say, fuck it.
No, he did get released, but it's also probably because he used this move, as well as maybe other factors.
I mean, PCP.
Okay. AAA, he's in AAA between 2006 and 2008 and 2009. I have to tell you this story. Shortly after his return to the company, Guerrero suffered a bruising and broken nose in a backstage fight with Conan and Jack Evans, a.k.a. Blitzkrieg 2. The fight started after Guerrero accused Conan of shitting in his bag, which Conan denied. And then Evans, with whom Guerrero had a match that evening, allegedly grabbed Guerrero from behind, provoking the fight. People, stop shitting in each other's bags.
Why would you? First off, now I'm just curious to find out if they ever found out who it was.
There's just somebody who really had to go, and they're like, I'm just going to lay low. Let Conan take the heat.
No, I mean, like, I get the tensions are high and all this other stuff, but why would Jack Evans grabbing him from behind spawn a fight?
I have no idea. Maybe it's because he remembered Blitzkrieg and was like, fight or flight.
Fuck this guy.
I gotta go. Juventud has been busy since, you know, AAA again from 2012 to 2014, again in 2018. He was a labor of Jericho in AEW in 2021. He had that one-off match against old rival Chris Jericho, which was actually pretty good. I thought it was
I enjoyed
not bad.
It. I mean, Hoovy's not that old.
Preferred labors.
Is he like in his early 40s?
Hoovy is 48 now.
Ah, shit. Okay, never mind.
40 years old. I like these, like that's the cutoff. The other fun match, fun story I found on his Wikipedia. In the 2010s, he stole Jason Styles' belt. Not that I know who Jason Styles is, claiming the promoter owed him money. I love this. Just you owe me money, give me your title belt.
Okay.
What did you think going and both discovering the career through the matches and hearing all the fun stories I had? Just what did you think diving into the career of Hoovy?
Just a fucking loose cannon, this man. I mean, I think he's a hell of a wrestler. Again, he's got a deep ass bag of moves. And like he's one of those guys. Like, yeah, he's got his set finishers and his set probably setups. I don't even think he had that, honestly. But he definitely had the 450 and the Hoovy driver. And he had a shit ton of pinning combinations. That's exactly those were the moves he hit every match. Aside from that, I swear to God, every single match was different from what you would get from him because he just like,
yeah,
it honestly kind of felt like he would just go out there and just do stuff.
you could tell that he knew what his body could do. And he was like, let's just see if I can pull it off in the ring. Like, yeah. he knew he had the technical skill as well as the like athleticism to pull off a bunch of random stuff. So he's like, let's try it. And lots of times it worked out and looked unbelievable, and sometimes it looked like he murdered Chris Sabin. So, you know, there's levels to this.
I mean, Chris, it also looked like Chris Sabin murdered him with that German suplex. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
There's a lot going on. It was really interesting to hear about Hoovy. Of course, all of these stories are from his Wikipedia, so maybe they have been doctored in some way, but those are the stories
maybe
that are
Conan
out there
wrote
Hoovy.
It.
I wouldn't be surprised if Conan wrote it.
No, I mean, also just like genuinely an incredible, like this is an incredible wrestler. Like
this is an unbelievable talent.
It's unfortunate that he came up at a time that he did, because I feel like you take, 20 whatever year old Hoovy, you make him not take PCP and you throw him in AEW or something like that. Like, this guy's incredible.
Allegedly doing PCP.
Okay, but he's naked and attacking police officers. Like, there's not many things you can do to really defend yourself.
What do you think the highest ranking in the PWI, because PWI is coming out this week, what do you think the highest ranking that Hoovy ever got in the PWI was?
Do you have it handy?
I do. I do have it handy.
Like 11?
Not that high. 25. In 1998. Some of the people he was a higher than that year. He's one spot ahead of Mick Foley. A couple spots ahead of Eddie.
In 98?
Yep.
Mick Foley was 26th in 1998. Arguably the biggest year of his career because of the Hell in a Cell match and all this other matches that he was at. The great matches with Austin, all this other stuff.
Undertaker was 5th. So
in 98?
We should all remember to take the PWI with a couple grains of salt.
What the fuck are we doing here?
A healthy dose of salt. All right. If you aren't already, head over to YouTube at Crossbody of Work. Hit subscribe. If you are watching, like the video, share it with your friends. We have lots of extra content coming up. We have another episode of Take a Card, Make a Card coming out this week. Our fun little gimmick where you and I have to panic to make a wrestling card
it's such
from
a
historical
panic.
Matches after five in just 5 minutes. And I'll spoil what the content is for those of you wondering. This week, it's all Attitude Era matches, and it was so stressful. We left off some big names on the cards, so come make fun of us in the comments.
One of these days, we'll leave in the 5 minutes.
Oh my god! This week is actually the best week if I ever were to like supercut a bunch of things that we say, because it's just us going, oh god, oh god, oh god, oh god,
oh god, oh god.
It's really fun. Follow us on social media. Follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
I got to make the sign at JMello Sports on the Twitter machine. That is where I am.
Follow me at @itsevangomes, @itsevangomes, also on the Twitter machine, but also follow the podcast, most importantly, on Instagram, on Twitter, at Crossbody of Work. Hit us up in the DMs if you have wrestlers you want us to cover. We know who we're doing next week and going into our next three-parter, but after that, everything's wide open. Tell us who you want us to cover, and we'll be able to abide, hopefully. FullPressWrestling.com for all the links to this week's matches. Our recommendations, of course, the Chris Sabin match and the Chris Jericho match. Hoovy versus Chris.
Rey Mysterio match is also very good.
The Rey match is a really, really good
time. Blitzkrieg,
if
you want to see shit in bags for some reason.
Jesus. FullPressShop.com. Cop the merch. Support the boys. Next week, it's a Halloween special, baby. I am the Boogeyman, and I'm coming to get you. I am very excited to talk about the Boogeyman, because normally we have wrestlers who have just these long careers and we have to make sure we catch a bunch of different things. Boogeyman was in WWE for like 4 years and he was lit, and that's all we're covering. It's going to be amazing.
Am I going to have a special surprise for that episode? Yes, I am. So you're going to want to watch it on YouTube. So subscribe for that.
I like that tease. That's a very good tease. The Boogeyman is coming next week. But we have to finish this week's episode with the most important part of the episode. Javier, any final words for the people?
I forgot about Life Advice with Javier. This That's week right. on Life Advice with Javier, we're doing it on the fly. Evan, you've been traveling this week. Tell people about hotel stuff. I don't know.
I do love that you're like, we're doing it on the fly, so you fucking do it. My life advice is to have a week. My life advice is to have a co-host who's down to just take the fucking advice from me. All right. Let's see. Hotel things. I know people are big on safety in hotels. Like, just double check all your locks. Make sure everything works. Also, if you're like me, say out loud to yourself where you've put your hotel like room key.
Yes.
Like, it's in the front of my wallet, especially if you're traveling by yourself and you don't have anyone to talk to be like, hey, remind me where this is. It's in the front of my wallet. And then I'll still double check and triple check. Also, I don't know, it depends on the hotel, but hotel breakfasts are underrated. All right. You can get a decent breakfast. And in terms of like free hotel breakfast versus going out to get breakfast somewhere else, the quality is not worth the fact that it's more money.
Yeah. What are you going to go get a McGriddle from McDonald's? Yeah. Like, no,
I'm not going to lie to you. Yesterday I had chicken and waffles at the hotel breakfast.
I have been craving chicken and waffles for so long. No, you know what? Here's my life advice. It's a rant on this behalf. There is like nowhere in Boston to get chicken and waffles. Like a tried and true chicken and waffles. If anybody here is from Massachusetts, specifically the Boston area, and is listening to this, I need you to start a petition, because I'm not going to. Start a petition for more chicken and waffle spot. Matter of fact, I want a place in Boston. Boston. I don't even care. Honestly, even the outskirts. I don't care. It could be in Newton. Could be in fucking Brookline, Watertown, wherever the fuck. I need a place that has chicken and waffles at all times. I want to pull up. Doesn't matter what time of the day it is. It could be noon. Could be 8 p.m. Could be freaking 11 p.m. Don't matter to me. I need chicken tenders. I need waffles together. Need it.
I straight up just Googled chicken and waffles in Boston. And I have like six hits.
No. But here's the thing. Is every single one of them is like a gimmick. Like you go to the Friendliest Toast, you want the chicken and waffles. They've got this weird Chipotle thing. It's like the freaking things are like tiny little triangles. The waffles, you get like two of them, and then there's like
based on what I see,
like cut in half.
Based on what I see, I'm thinking Maxine's on St. James.
Maxine's on St. James?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's on Dudley Street in Boston.
Oh, you do not want to go there.
Well, it looks like the best chicken and waffles. That's all I'm going to say.
And then there's like IHOP, obviously, but come on. Oh, no, wait. I also have a hotel etiquette thing. The blanket.
Are you serious?
Yes, blanket.
The blanket?
So, the you know, they usually, like, they give you a top sheet and they give you, like, a big comforter. I always turn it inside out. Like, I turn it around. I don't trust that they've cleaned it properly. So, I want the side that I know people haven't slept on.
That's fair.
I do.
I'm now looking at the beds that I've already slept in. And you know what? I already made my bed and I'm going to lay in it literally right now as I edit these episodes. All right. We're out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. We're back next week to talk about the Boogeyman. We will see you then.
Boogeyman!